model aircraft that are big enough and expensive enough to make you think they're the real thing. I'm Paul Plagg, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. This is the weekend of the Arlington Regional Fly-In in Washington State, about 45-minute drive north of Seattle. And there are a lot of things going on at this event this year, but one of the more interesting, one that you don't see at every event of this type, is a demonstration of some pretty large-scale remote control model aircraft. And our guest today on the special feature is Lynn King, who is one of the organizers of the RC model aircraft display at Arlington. And Lynn, thanks very much for taking some time out to talk to our listeners today.
Thank you so much for calling and caring about this event for us.
Let me go into a little bit about how model aircraft relate to full-size aircraft that carry actual humans aloft. Do you have any background in aviation, or have you always wanted to fly, or is the appeal of model aircraft something completely different?
Paul, all of the above for myself. I do fly full-size sailplanes. I have worked with a number of universities on building mechanisms for their wind tunnels and low-speed airfoil tests, and just my general interest in aviation from childhood have brought me into this. So it's been a lifetime fulfillment to see a lot of my dreams come to fruition here.
Well, did you get into real flying first? Or I shouldn't say that. That sounds condescending. Did you get into human flight first or model aircraft?
Model aircraft, Paul. I started when I was about 8 years old with some very elementary kits that I bought and built and used little motors called 049 displacement.
Oh, the Cox glow plug engines. Yes, I remember them well.
Exactly. Cox was the mainstay for a lot of my learning for many years there.
All right. Well, then was that the genesis of your interest in becoming a pilot too, or was that kind of a separate course?
I think that really was the beginning of my interest in it. Flying the models and designing them and seeing something actually happen led me to wanting to be in that. And the fact that we lived near an airport, I found myself often just staring into the sky, watching to see the airplanes go over and wondering what it would be like to be up there and what was making them work. So it's been a lifelong thing to get there.
All right, let's talk about your activity at the event this weekend. Are you flying one of your own personal models?
I am, Paul. Two of my models will be used simultaneously, albeit I won't be flying both of them. My particular participation is aero towing and general aviation, i.e. reciprocating engines and gliders. We'll be doing an actual aero tow, quite similar to what you see on full-scale events, whereby I use a powered aircraft, actually an ag-type plane, and it tows up a true scale of a DG-1000 made by Glaser Dirks, and it happens to be a wingspan of about 18 feet. We're going to tow it up to a relatively high altitude, release it, and the tow plane, being piloted by a very close friend of mine, Steve Dentz, will make a landing. I'll make a number of passes, perhaps do some aerobatics, inverted flight, loops and rolls, and then land the sailplane on the taxiway.
All right. Now, these are big, relatively big models. 30% scale and an 18-foot wingspan on the sailplane is a pretty big plane. Tell us about the ag plane. I've read a little bit about this, and it sounds fascinating in its detail and accuracy.
It was a fun project. I like towing. I also like sailplanes, but towing encompasses a fine art of formation flying and work planes, in that you build something and it goes to work towing up our gliders. But more succinctly to answer your question, the tow plane that I'm flying or I have created is a 1/3 scale Rockwell Thrush, which is a low wing ag plane. It looks a lot like the Cessna ag wagons and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was popular from the 50s into the 70s, and its basis was a radial engine. And that was chosen. I chose that one because I had on hand a 5-cylinder radial engine that I wanted to put on a tow plane. So that led me to this particular scale because the motor is 14 horses, 215 cc's, and quite large. So that kind of depicted the size of the tow plane.
Well, now, where does one find a 215cc five-cylinder radial? Who builds that?
That's an excellent question, Paul. There's a number of companies out there that build multi-cylinder model airplanes. This particular one happens to come from a company called RCS, and the motors are created in Czechoslovakia and then sold here. Actually, my 215cc is the smallest of a set of three motors that they produce and sell. The next level up is a 250cc, and then, if you can imagine this, a 400cc radial. I used to race motorcycles professionally, and I raced motorcycles with less volume displacement than the airplanes I'm flying today. It's quite interesting.
Well, now, what does the 400cc radial produce for horsepower?
I think the 400 is up about the 20, 22 horse area, and it swings a 34 to a 38-inch propeller. Now, there's a lot of ultralights out there that use motors about that size, but they're not using these particular model motors.
Well, no, and they would have to use a quite a bit larger propeller to have a shot at getting a human off the ground, but that's still
true.
A honking big engine for the model world.
It's a wonderful piece of machinery when it's idling, and I should say that its push rods and rockers are all exposed, so we have to oil this up at the beginning of each day. But when it's idling, it looks like a sewing machine. It just sits there and hums. But when you whack the throttle on it, it's a very serious piece of equipment.
More about this weekend's RC model demos at Arlington with Lynn King in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips, composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack, and my guest today is Lynn King, a Seattle-area RC model aircraft enthusiast who is part of this weekend's demonstrations at the Arlington Regional Fly-In in Washington State. Lynn, let's talk about some of the other models that will be there, because there are some other very imposing models that people have put together.
Aside from the aero towing and glider event, on Friday and Saturday, one of my cohorts here, Chuck Bauer, is in charge of jets. And if you've ever seen a jet fly or wanted to be near an airstrip and see a jet, there's a number of your faculties that come into play, that being the sight, the sound, and the smell. These model jets are running true turbine engines. They use jet engine fuel, they smell like jets, they sound like jets, and are incredible pieces of equipment.
Now, I have seen model aircraft in the past that used fairly large piston model airplane engines to spin a fan and very closely simulated the sound of a true jet engine, but you're saying these are actual turbine engines?
These are absolute true jet engines. They have a multi-stage compressor fan system in it and a final stage and burner mechanism in them. And what you were describing is what we classically call a ducted fan. It uses a reciprocating engine spinning a fan at high speeds.
Mm-hmm.
But no, Paul, these are absolute true to life miniature jet motors. They're incredible. And to take that another step farther, on Sunday, we will be having a demonstration of in effect, a turboprop helicopter, a turbine jet engine helicopter that will be demonstrated on Sunday for the crowd. And it's a huge thing. I think his rotor span is upwards of 8 feet. The aircraft alone weighs over 50 pounds. It takes special permission from our mother organization, AMA, to fly this thing. But it's just an amazing piece of equipment.
Well, this is going to be spectacular. I have to think the practical, cynical side of my mind when I hear you talking about all this hardware has a little cash register sound effect going off.
And just a little.
When you're talking about a miniature turboshaft engine capable of lifting a helicopter with an 8-foot rotor span, I have to think that you're getting into an expenditure of money to build a model like this that would buy you some small used aircraft that you could actually fly a human in.
That's too true, Paul. Very true. I'll say that on the low end, my 5-cylinder radial engine is $3,500. There's very little support that goes with that other than gas and oil and propellers. The turbines can typically run about $2,200 to $3,000, and that includes a full complement of support, the ICU, fuel systems, and gauges, and mechanisms to control the fuel mixture. A two pound weight turbine engine can produce upwards of 8 pounds of static thrust. And if you know jet motors, that doesn't diminish with speed. It just increases speed. And in the line of the turboprop mechanism, it's a spinning the turbine into a geared mechanism to spin the rotor. Now we're talking about an engine that's got to be upwards of the $6,000 to $8,000 just for the motor. The helicopter itself is a kit or scratch build, and there's another $8,000 to $10,000 on that. And we still haven't talked about the radio.
Wow, you know, it's I'm thinking about price lists. I've been looking at engines this week because I'm trying to bone up on the new designs and offerings in the marketplace in advance of Oshkosh to go talk to the vendors. And there are a number of, you know, aircraft engines you can buy for that are in the, say, 60 to 100 horsepower class in that same price range.
Yes.
So, I mean, you're talking a serious hobby here. I guess the other question is, almost anybody I know who has had an RC helicopter has crashed it at least once. That has to be brutally painful in this level of the sport.
Helicopters have been around for a number of years now, and fortunately, they've been developed to a state where they are not a self-destruct machine in that there are many, at least three gyros that are working for you with a helicopter today, where in the beginning, they were not even there, and these help stabilize the helicopter a lot. So we start to fly the thing instead of just try to get it under control. It has saved a lot for those.
Tell me about the organizations that are participating in the RC events at Arlington this weekend, because you mentioned earlier a mother organization, but there are individual local chapters that have collaborated to put this event on.
Absolutely, Paul. Our mother organization is AMA, American Model Airplane Association. They oversee all activities of models, regardless of their power or not. But the three groups that are coordinating this year is the Skagit RC Club, the Arlington Eagles RC Club, and the Whidbey Island Radio Control Society. And those three clubs have come together to bring these birds and the display together, along with our lead promoter, Joe Goffin, who has put the team together to bring this out to the show. And I have to give a great kudo to the Arlington people for putting and actually allowing us to be there. We have attempted to be at the Arlington show for a number of years. It's been difficult to get in. This year, Barbara called us and, in effect, begged us to be there and participate, be part of the show, and we could not have been more welcomed without her being there and helping us get in.
We're looking forward to seeing the displays over the weekend, and I guess the last question would be, if someone wants to find out more about RC model activity in the Pacific Northwest or specifically in the greater Seattle area, what's a good place to send them on the web?
I would send them to the AMA organization, and that is modelaircraft.org, and that is the AMA headquarters. Yeah, again, it's the mother organization that covers all aspects of modeling, from little hand-launched gliders into the maximum size aircraft that we have on display here. We also, I need to say, we have other aircraft here that are small. We have amphibian-type aircraft. We'll have small helicopters there. We're not just trying to show the high-end stuff. We're trying to reach all of the public. And in that, we have handout model gliders. We are giving classes on building styrofoam hand-launched gliders. It's been a wonderful experience for us to be able to share our knowledge.
All right. Well, Lynn, we appreciate you taking some time out, and thanks for bringing us up to speed. We'll look for you at the event.
Oh, it's been a great pleasure to talk with you, Paul. I look forward to seeing you at the show. Please stop by the tent. We'll answer all your questions.
My guest has been Lynn King, and you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.